Lord Jesus, we praise your name. Worthy is your name and yours alone, because it's through you alone that we have peace. It's through you alone that we have access to the Father. The beautiful, powerful name of Jesus. You are the very Word of God. We are so grateful that, God, you are not silent, but you have spoken, and you do speak, and you still will speak. And our prayer is that you would speak to us today. We live in a dark world. Darkness covers the earth, as Isaiah said, and yet a light has risen upon us. So help us to rise and to share that light with those around us for your name's sake and your glory. Now, as we open your word, would you please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to what you would say to us by your Holy Spirit. We pray in the beautiful, worthy name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen. Many of us probably have memories of certain events that happened when we were young that just sort of stick with us. One of those for me, I was 7 or 8 years old in Ivory Coast, West Africa, where I lived with my family, and the power went off, as it did relatively often in those days. We had some lights in our sitting room, in our living room, a lantern, and so the whole family was just gathered in that one room, and we were talking, and I remember saying to my parents, let's play a game, let's play a board game. And they said, sure, why don't you go get it? So I took off running to the back of the house down this long hallway, and I got halfway down and I stopped. It was really dark, no lights. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to the end of this hallway to look for a game. I turned around, went back in, and I sort of sheepishly walked around the corner to our living room, and my dad smiled. He said, where's the game? I said, it's really dark back there. Why is it that we're afraid of the dark? When we're in the dark, we can stumble, we can fall, we can lose our way. In the dark, bad things happen. John tells us, people love the dark because their deeds are evil. Inel and I used to always tell our boys when they were living at home and they were teenagers, nothing good happens after midnight. So there's no reason to be out. But when everything is really dark, light becomes beautiful. This past summer when we were up at our cottage in Upper Peninsula, the northern lights were visible quite often, and one night they were specifically going to be out. I got up in the middle of the night, it was 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I walked outside of our little cottage, and up there in the Upper Peninsula, there is no light pollution. So I looked along the horizon, along the north, to find the northern lights. They weren't there, but I was stunned by literally the millions of sparks of light in the sky. It was a crystal clear night. There wasn't a square inch in the sky that wasn't covered with stars. It just took my breath away. Light is beautiful when it shines into the darkness. As December progresses, our days become short, our nights become long, don't they? And so what do? We put lights all over. We put lights on our trees outside. We put lights around our houses. We want to brighten our lives up a little bit, but there is only one light that actually gives life. And his name is Jesus. Last week, we were in John chapter 1, looking at Jesus as the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and by God's grace, the Word has revealed God to us. God has spoken. He is not silent. And this morning we look at the verses that follow that, verses 4 and 5 in John chapter 1. If you're using the Bible in the seat in front of you, it's page 886. In him, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness. The light dispels the darkness. The light removes the darkness. When it penetrates, the darkness runs away and hides. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the light, which is the life of men. Last week we looked at what the first century hearers of John's gospel would have understood the Word to be, the Logos to be. What would they have understood light to be? Well, primarily, just like for us, they would have understood it as the physical opposite, the physical difference between light and darkness. But light was also understood to be wisdom. In the wisdom literature of the day, light was paralleled to, it was accompanied by, it was described as wisdom all the time. And for the Jewish people, light was understood to be scripture. For instance, in Psalm 119, verse 130, the unfolding of your words gives light. Light is the Word of God. Light is Scripture. So Jesus is the Word. He is also the light. Greek philosophers promoted light as enlightenment. We even talk about an age of enlightenment. They thought of enlightenment through philosophy and through morality and even through simplistic living, and that was what would bring light to your life. But one of the things that had the greatest influence in that day was Zoroastrianism. It came out of Persia, modern-day Iran, and it had begun to influence the Middle East and Greece very strongly from about 600 BC, 600 before Jesus, until the time when Jesus came. And in Zoroastrianism, there were two great powers that were opposing each other, sort of like in Star Wars, the Force, you know, dark and light. It was darkness and light. These two powers were in opposition to one another. Then think of what John says. The light shines, and the darkness cannot overcome it. You see, the imagery for the people who heard this would be the light is so powerful that its opposing force was completely devastated, could not overcome it. Rabbis had begun to say that the light would be the Messiah. In fact, one rabbi had recently written, God will cause the light of the King, the Messiah, and Israel to shine. And then Jesus comes, and Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus is light. Jesus is the Word of God. That's one of his names, but he's also named light. He calls himself light. And that light, verse 4 and 5, shines. It shines, dispelling the distressing power of darkness, because darkness is oppressive. Darkness is smothering. Darkness almost suffocating. When all the lights go out, we begin to look around. What's happening? What's wrong? Let's find a generator. Let's turn it on. But even these little lights across the front give us hope, because the smothering of light, the smothering of darkness is penetrated by light. And when light begins to shine, and it shines in all of its brightness, the darkness is dispelled. The darkness is removed. And the darkness runs and hides. Darkness, you see, is the absence of light. But in the Gospel of John, it's even more than the absence of light. Darkness is evil. Darkness is the very presence of evil throughout this whole Gospel. Now, we don't have time to look at that, but it communicates in the Gospel of John fear. It communicates distress. It communicates agony. And it's not only in John. Back in Isaiah, where the Greenwells read to us as we began our service this morning. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. Now, why does he describe Galilee as a place of deep darkness? On the map that you're going to see here, Galilee is way up north. It is, if you look down at the two, when we're looking at Israel, there are two lakes. At the north is Lake Sea of Galilee. At the bottom is the Dead Sea. Jerusalem is right across just west of the top of the Dead Sea. If you follow it west, you can see Bethlehem. Jerusalem is right next to it. But Galilee is way up north. And I don't know if you can see this little red dot, but that is Tyre. That is Sidon. Those are Gentile cities that were very, very powerful and influential. This whole area was controlled by Gentiles. This side over here was called the Decapolis, 10 cities where Gentiles lived, that side of the river. There's Galilee, stuck right in there. It was a place of fear because it was the road through which all of the invading armies from the north came. In fact, the way of the sea, if we can go back to that for just a moment, the way of the sea is literally a road that runs right here. In fact, those of you who went to Israel with us a few years ago, we stood on a hilltop and we could see that road, now covered with grass and everything, but still very identifiable. So when Isaiah says that the way of the sea is now become a place where the light has shined, and the darkness of Galilee is where the light has arisen upon them over this deep darkness. The absence of light can bring fear. The absence of light can bring lostness. The absence of light can be dangerous, and it's there where evil is, and yet it's there where the light shines, and it's there where we need it the very most. I was traveling one day in the late 1980s to a very remote part of Uganda where we were planting churches and doing evangelism. And as I was traveling high in these mountains, I mean very high in these mountains, on little dirt road, that on one side of the road they had carved out the mountain to make the dirt, to make the road, but then on the other side it was just a straight drop off, hundreds of feet, sometimes over 1,000 feet down, no barrier, just a dirt road. It was very rutted, it was very dangerous. When it would rain, sometimes that road would wash out. I had a four-wheel drive truck, and one time on the way, as we were right at in the top of those mountains, about an hour and a half, 2 hours to go to reach our destination, all of the electrical part of my truck stopped working. The dash stopped working, the lights stopped working, everything stopped working. It was a manual transmission, so we could drive it, but with no lights, and it was pitch black. And one of my Ugandan brothers had a flashlight, and he literally stuck the flashlight out the window showing the edge of the drop-off, and we drove for an hour and a half. I was terrified. The light, without the light, we would never have made it. In the Gospel of John, the darkness is a place of fear and terror, but the light has shone. Let me just give you two examples. John chapter 6, verse 17, the disciples got into a boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. John carries that imagery all over in his gospel. Where there's darkness, Jesus has not yet come. But Jesus will come walking on the water. At the Last Supper that we have just celebrated, We're told that Jesus knows that Judas is going to betray him, and Jesus gives him a morsel of bread, and this is what we're told. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he, Judas, immediately went out, and look at what John says, and it was night. It was dark. He walked away from the light into the darkness. I wonder if you're living in darkness, if your world is filled with fear, with the unknown. If everything's dark in your life, maybe in your relationships, there's a lot of darkness. Maybe in your world, as you look at the world around you, it seems like it's dark. John tells us the light shines in the darkness. It penetrates. It rips the darkness away. And that light is a person. That light is Jesus. The light of Jesus can't be restricted, though. It's going to shine not only the way in front of us, it shines right into our lives. And it'll reveal the things that we would like to hide. Sometimes it reveals things we don't even know that are in our lives. When we allow the light of Jesus to shine, yes, it helps us know the way forward. It helps us also begin to understand who we are. Light not only shines, dispelling the distressing power of darkness, though. We're told that light gives life, John says, and that dispels the deadening power of darkness. Jesus said in John 8, verse 12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Their light and life are coupled. In John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light and life are coupled. In Psalm 36, verse 9, for you, with you is the fountain of life, and in your light do we see light. Life and light, because Jesus is light, and only his light brings life. Without light, there is no life. And so even in the creation story, the first thing that God does is say, let there be light, because there won't be plants without light. There won't be life without light. There won't be human beings without light. And yet we live in a deep darkness, Isaiah says. And into that darkness, the light has come. That light gives us life, and it's only in Jesus, dispelling the deadening power of darkness. But that light does more than just take the deadening power of darkness away. It does more than just shine, dispelling the distress that darkness brings. Light invigorates. And by doing so, it dispels the debilitating power of darkness. Darkness takes our ability to function away. And when Jesus' light shines into our life, we now again can function the way he created us to function. We can be the people he called us to be. As we began and lit the candle this morning, we're reading from Isaiah 60, and I want to just spend a couple minutes in Isaiah 60. If you're using the Bibles in the seat in front of you, it's probably page 619. Isaiah 60, God says this, "Arise, shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, a thick darkness over the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Why does God tell them to arise? Well, it's because they've been languishing. They've been fumbling in the darkness. They cannot find their way. If you look back up into chapter 59, we always have to read scripture in context. So why does God tell them, arise, shine, for your light has come? Well, in chapter 59, verse 9, for instance, this is the New Living Translation. It says, so there is no justice among us. This is what the people say. We know nothing about right living. We look for light, but what do we find? Only darkness. We look for bright skies, but we walk in gloom. Verse 10, they're stumbling. We grope like blind people along a wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. Even at brightest noontime, we stumble as though it were dark. Among the living, we are like the dead, because without light, there is no life. The people of Israel say, we are stumbling. We can't find our way. We are just feeling along the walls. Even if it's bright daylight outside, we are lost. We don't know where to go. Why are they lost? The next verses tell us, verse 12, for our sins are piled up before God and they testify against us. Yes, we know we are sinners. We know that we are. We know we have rebelled and we have denied the Lord. We've turned our backs on our God. We know how unfair and oppressive we've been, carefully planning our own deceitful life. They recognize they are sinners, and that's why they're groping in darkness. In verse 16, God says, I'm going to step in and intervene. He was amazed. God was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed. So he himself stepped in to save them with his strong arm, and his justice sustained them. So we come to chapter 60, and what are we told? Arise, shine, for your light has come. That light is Jesus. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It's the picture of a sunrise breaking through the darkest night you can imagine, and suddenly the sunrise bursts into view, and it dispels all of that darkness. That's what Jesus does, and I love the way the Holy Spirit uses grammar. John chapter 1, the light shines, that's present tense, not only when Jesus was here. John wrote this after Jesus had ascended into heaven, but the light still shines. And in Isaiah chapter 60, arise, shine, that's a present tense command for all of us. The light has arisen upon us, so we need to be shining right now. The light, brothers and sisters, shines in the darkest places. So if you look at the world around you and you feel like things are getting bad, it's a great time to be a believer because the light has arisen upon us. And because it has risen upon us, we are called to now shine that same light. If the light in your life seems to be gone, if you're walking like the Jews were in Isaiah 59, just groping along the walls, trying to find your way, the light you need is Jesus and only Jesus. John wrote this story, this true story of the coming of Jesus at a time when the government in Rome was attacking Christians for all they could. Nero had accused the Christians of destroying, burning Rome. That's one of the reasons Paul was executed there. Another emperor to follow him, Diocletian, he required that all the church buildings and every single passage of Scripture, every single bit of Scripture, be burned publicly. He banned all church officials from doing any work. He required every Christian to recant, and then he decreed death to every Christian in the empire, and they were killed by the thousands. Arise, shine, for your light is come. It doesn't matter how dark it is. The light has dispelled the darkness. Tertullian, one of the Christians who lived in that day, said this, go on, rack, torture, grind us to power. Our numbers increase in proportion as you mow us down. The blood of Christians is their harvest seed. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Have you seen the light of Jesus penetrating the darkness of your life? If you haven't, he's ready to shine into your life. Not only to show you the way forward, but to show you everything that's inside. All the dirt, all the sin. Not just to embarrass you, but to heal you, to forgive you. Just come to Jesus. If you're a believer, do not be discouraged. Scriptures say, darkness will cover the earth. A thick darkness will cover the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Nations will come to your light. So as those of us who know Jesus walk out of these doors today into a world that is groping in darkness and lost, our light has arisen upon us. And so it's our opportunity to arise and shine. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. So grateful that you are not only the very Word of God, but you are the very light. And we do live in a dark world. There's a thick darkness that covers this world. But you have arisen. You have come not only to earth back over 2,000 years ago, but you continue to penetrate, to pierce the darkness with your light. And we worship you and give you thanks. As we walk out of this hall today, Will you please help us to let your light shine through us? Help us to arise and shine because our light has come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.